And so our theme this morning, quite simply, is mercy for the merciful. Mercy for the merciful. We've seen in looking at these Beatitudes of the Lord Jesus that he is the one who has the prerogative to declare who are blessed, and that he is giving characteristics of the true children of God, of those who are the heirs of the kingdom of heaven, of those who shall be comforted and inherit the earth and be filled and here obtain mercy. First of all, mercy, a characteristic, not a work of merit. Mercy, a characteristic, not a work of merit. Mercifulness is not a merit wherewith the favor of God can be earned. The merciful obtain mercy. So the text itself makes it clear that the merciful are still recipients of mercy from God himself. They are dependent upon divine mercy. Their salvation is of grace, of undeserved kindness. Their acquittal at the day of God has its source in God's mercy. So the merciful are not people like the late Mother Teresa, helping the afflicted in order to secure merit before God and a place in heaven thereby. This is not describing the idea that if we do enough good deeds and alms deeds and merciful acts, that this will earn the favor of God. No, it is not doing that, because the merciful are still recipients of mercy, not debt. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. But mercifulness is a characteristic of the true Christian. The Lord Jesus is not telling us the basis on which sinners are forgiven, but the characteristics of those sinners whose sins are forgiven. The true believer is merciful. Those who are forgiven through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ will be merciful people. In Matthew 18, which we read in the parable of the unmerciful servant, in verse 23 to 35 of that chapter, we have set before us the fact that those who are not merciful, whatever they may profess, are not the recipients of the saving mercy of God. That it is a characteristic of forgiven men that they are forgiving men. Those who have been forgiven much will forgive much. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32, we have the same principle. Ephesians 4 and verse 32. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Or in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And of course, our Lord Jesus in Matthew 6, in teaching the disciples to pray in verse 12, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Then in verse 14, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So it is a characteristic of those who have received mercy that they show mercy. It is the fruit of mercy already received, as well as the indication of mercy yet to come. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. So this comfort of God, the Father of mercies, results in the apostle being able to comfort those who are in trouble. Romans 15 and verse 7. Romans 15 verse 7. Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. In other words, saving grace results or causes some measure of likeness to the Savior to be found in those whom he has delivered from the wrath to come. When God in his mercy shows a sinner that he is a sinner, and shows him that he deserves the divine wrath for his sins, and shows him that he needs Christ, and makes him willing to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and to trust in the Savior, then that sinner renounces boasting and becomes one of the meek of the earth. And having received such mercy, such favor in their unworthiness and in their great need, they are compassionate toward others in their great need. Saving mercy produces merciful people. So it is by the mercy of God that the people of God are the people of God, and a feature of those who have received such mercy is that they are merciful. But then secondly, what this mercifulness is. What this mercifulness is. There is no doubt that non-Christians can be kind. Acts chapter 28, verse 1 and 2. When they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita, and the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold. So there you have the barbarous people, the pagans, showing kindness. So what then is this mercifulness of which our text speaks? What is this mercifulness that is distinctive of the blessed, of those who shall obtain mercy, of those who shall inherit the kingdom of God? Well, now, in general, mercy means taking notice of the needs, the miseries, the afflictions of others, and having a desire to relieve their afflictions, and taking care to see how they can relieve the afflicted. Thus Proverbs 14:22, mercy and truth shall be to them that devise good. The merciful man or woman thinks and devises how to relieve the afflicted. and takes action to actually relieve the afflicted. It's not just a matter of thinking that it would be nice to do something, but they actually do something, even if it means loss and sacrifice to themselves. Now that is mercy in general. Grace has to do with the unworthiness and the undeservedness of the recipient. Mercy is more to do with the great need of the recipient. So grace is kindness to the undeserving. Mercy is kindness to those who greatly need that kindness. And of course, God is both gracious and merciful. But what is distinctive of the true Christian's mercifulness? Firstly, the Christian looks upon God as the God of mercy. The true Christian knows that he is dependent upon the mercy of God, that he is dependent upon the mercy of God every day, even for the things of this present life, because God is kind or merciful to the unthankful and the evil. His mercy fills the earth, and the Christian knows that God has been merciful to him, even in the general provision of the things of this life. The Christian ascribes all to the mercy of God. He knows also that he has been the recipient of saving mercy, that God has bestowed upon him an everlasting mercy, salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. He knows that promises of mercy have been sent to him in his great need, that God in his glorious providence caused him to be born in a time and in a place where in due course he would hear the message of mercy to sinners. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And what a mercy it is to hear the message of mercy. Millions live and die without such a message, but the Christian knows that it is of God's good pleasure that he has heard the message of mercy. Whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. And the Christian knows that it is the mercy of God that has caused him to embrace the promises in the message of mercy. That proclamation of pardon and mercy to sinners who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Christian knows that left to himself, he would have gone on in darkness, but that it was God's mercy that caused him to be made willing in the day of the Lord's power to embrace the promises, that God, who has mercy upon whom he will have mercy, has looked upon him and granted to him a new heart, a heart willing to trust in the promises of mercy and forgiveness through the Lord Jesus Christ. And having been enabled to believe, he has obtained new mercies, because that mercy, that gracious working of the Spirit in the heart, which caused him to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, means that he enters into the blessings promised to those who believe, that he should be accepted in the Beloved, his sins forgiven. His prayer, God be merciful to me, a sinner, has been abundantly answered. He has not been sent empty away, but the Lord has filled him with good things. Justification, he has been declared not guilty. Adoption, he has entered into all the rights and privileges of the children of God. And the hope of glory. He has exceeding great and precious promises, meanwhile, to live by And he has access to God in prayer through the Lord Jesus Christ, having peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, in this grace wherein we stand. Now then, the real Christian then knows that he owes all of his salvation to the mercy of God. And how can the recipient of such mercy not become merciful? So that the genuine Christian, the recipient of God's saving mercy in Christ, has a distinctive motive for mercifulness. One that the ungodly, be they never so kind to others, does not have. The Christian is merciful because God has been merciful to him. And so a distinctive motive produces a distinctive mercifulness. What is the Christian's mercifulness to others like? Well, firstly, it is a mercifulness that does include relief of physical need. James chapter 2 and verse 14. James 2 and verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Those who have received mercy of God do not have a dead faith. They have a faith that manifests itself in works, and part of that is mercifulness, and that mercifulness is one which includes ministering to the actual physical needs of others, with no ultimate motive of praise or reward. Romans 12, verse 8, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, with simplicity, without looking to receive again, without trying to stack up a stock of favors owed by others that they can cash in at some future date. The true child of God is merciful because it honors God, because he is humbled that he has been so mercifully dealt with by God, and so he is merciful for its own sake with simplicity. But the Christian's mercifulness to others extends to a desire for the welfare of their souls. Romans chapter 9, verse 1, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. It seeks the soul's welfare. The apostle was called to public preaching, and he preached the gospel for the good of men's souls. And he did so as one conscious of the mercy of God to him. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. And so this mercy of the Christian cares for the souls of men. And this mercy of the Christian causes him to pray for the conversion of sinners. Romans 10:1, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. And it extends to all kinds of men, like the Good Samaritan, The lawyers were asking, who is my neighbor? But the Lord Jesus shows who was neighbor to him that was in need, and it was the Samaritan. In God's providence, there was the opportunity for relieving the afflicted. And this shows us the love that exists in the kingdom of God amongst the people of God. That it is, in that sense, indiscriminating, in that it is not confined to a particular class of men. And it extends even to enemies. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 44. Matthew 5 verse 44. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Do we pray for our enemies, for those who despitefully use us? Philip preached to the Samaritans, of all people. And this mercifulness is one which forgives injuries. We quoted from Ephesians and Colossians, forbearing one another, be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forbearing one another, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. The merciful man, this Christian who is merciful, is easily entreated. He is not preoccupied with his own rights, real or imaginary, because he is being brought low in his own eyes, conscious of the immensity of his debt to the mercy of God in Christ. But God, who is rich in mercy, with that great love wherewith he loved us, has quickened us together with Christ. You can't believe that and be full of your own rights. You can't. You can't believe that you've been redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ, who humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, and at the same time be full of yourself, your rights, your dignity, your standing. And those who are merciful in the sense of the text, they are not only forgiving, but they're merciful to the name and reputation of others, avoiding slander, putting the best construction on the actions of others, not looking for faults, not taking up an evil report, not rejoicing in iniquity. You see, the true Christian is very mercy conscious because he has been so mercifully dealt with by God. Titus chapter 3. Titus 3 and verse 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Saviour, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. His mercy, the washing of regeneration, that's talking about that work of the Spirit of God in the heart, making us willing to trust in Jesus Christ, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Christians are mercy conscious because they have received mercy from God. Through the tender mercy of our God, we are found in Him, in Christ. So they are merciful. But then thirdly, the mercy promised. The mercy promised. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. They shall obtain mercy. Unmerciful souls, hard-hearted, condescending, proud souls that cannot forgive and that are full of their own rights and only show a kind of mercy compatible with their own proud and self-righteous terms. There are no promises for you. If that is true of you, then this promise does not apply. You are not merciful, and you have no promise of mercy from God. For he shall have judgment without mercy that has shown no mercy. Just think of that. Judgment without mercy at the hand of God. Contemplate that for a moment. Appearing before God, the holy God of heaven, and no mercy. Because God will do it. Those who are not redeemed by Christ and therefore have not been brought to be merciful people, they will be judged without mercy. The King of Glory, seeing no mercy, take him and bind him hand and foot and cast him into outer darkness, for there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. If you are not merciful, then at the day of God there will be no mercy. And your profession of the Reformed faith will not save you. As if hard-heartedness were the true colors of those glorious doctrines we call the Reformed faith. How dare you? How dare you ever imagine that biblical truth and Reformed doctrine should make men hard and unmerciful? Truly applied, those doctrines do nothing of the sort. What we call the Reformed faith, which is just the biblical gospel in its fullness and glory, ascribing all of salvation to God, it produces men and women of principle and consistency, certainly. But their belief of the truth will make them merciful. The biblical doctrine of salvation, which ascribes salvation entirely to the grace and mercy of God in Christ, in all its power, does not, as its proper fruit, produce an unmerciful people. It does not. Unmercifulness puts us in the same category as Sodom and Gomorrah. Ezekiel 16. Verse 49. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom: pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. they shall obtain mercy. True Christians, who by the grace of God have trusted the Saviour, and by that same grace are merciful in their disposition. They shall obtain mercy. They shall obtain mercy. There is no difference between the blessed of this verse and of the one before. The verse before says, "Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Those who hunger and thirst after righteousness are merciful. Same people. Same blessed people. A hungering and thirsting after righteousness that is not seeking an increase of this merciful spirit is spurious. If you're supposed to be hungering and thirsting after righteousness, and you do not desire by God's grace to be more merciful, then you're not hungering after real righteousness. And no amount of claim to desire to be sound in the faith is valid if it does not have with it a desire to increase in mercifulness. But then there are mercies obtained by the merciful in this life. It says they shall obtain mercy. What mercy? Well, in this life they obtain mercy. It is a mark of a true believer that he is merciful, and a ground of assurance. Colossians 3 verse 12. Colossians 3 verse 12. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. The verse we looked at earlier. It is a mark of election when by God's grace we put on these bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind. Therefore, if we find a grace to be merciful in our disposition, it is an evidence of election and a strengthening of assurance and of peace. 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter 3 and verse 7 and 8. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honour unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. That surely indicates that this mercifulness, even within domestic life, removes a hindrance to prayer, and therefore cultivates and nurtures communion with God. So the believer is merciful, and his mercifulness brings mercy, other mercies with it. But then the merciful have the great mercy of knowing that all things are working together for their good. For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, who are the called according to his purpose. Those who love God are those who are called, those who have been brought to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we love God, the God of mercy, we will be merciful. That means the merciful have all things being ordered by God for their good, so that there are mercies around them all the time. Everything is being ordered for their benefit. They are surrounded by mercies. God's mercies are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness to them. Mercy and truth go before them, and mercy follows after them. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. God prepares the way for them. Each day of their lives, He is ordering everything in mercy. But mercy in the world to come. Mercy in the world to come. Those who by God's mercy have become true believers and are therefore merciful souls, they will obtain mercy in the day of the Lord. You remember how Paul, we read in 2 Timothy 1, says of Onesimus, may he find mercy of the Lord in that day. True believers are merciful, and true believers will find mercy in the day of God. They shall go to heaven when they die, and they shall be publicly acquitted at the day of judgment, when their bodies are raised to glory. Mercy. Mercy in the day of God for those who by grace trusted in the Saviour and became merciful while they were in this world. In Acts chapter 3 and verse 19, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and He shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. He says, repent and be converted. Then when the day of God comes and the Lord Jesus comes and the times of refreshing, when He shall renew the heavens and the earth, the restitution of all things, in that day your sins will be blotted out. In that day you will be publicly acquitted. Not one cup of cold water will be forgotten in that day. So if you're not merciful, that is to say, if you have not had your heart changed by the Spirit of God so that you trust in Jesus Christ and you ascribe your salvation to the mercy of God, and that has wrought within you a compassion towards others. In other words, if you're not a Christian, you must repent. You must repent of your unmercifulness. That your sins will be blotted out when God shall send His Son, which has been preached unto you. You see, it needs faith to be truly merciful. It needs faith not to be afraid of being merciful. Unbelief means we're afraid that we lose out by being merciful. But those who trust in the Lord Jesus and who rely upon the God of heaven, they're not afraid to be merciful. They're afraid of being unmerciful and dishonoring God. But there is a day coming when it will be made clear before the universe the difference between him that feareth God and him that feareth him not. The true people of God, those who really trusted in the Saviour and who had a merciful disposition, they will obtain mercy in that day. But those who, though they may have professed much, did not have this true merciful disposition because they were not true believers in the Lord Jesus, because they had never been born again of the Spirit, they will have judgment without mercy. If you're not among these blessed, merciful people, what must you do? Well, you must seek mercy from God. You cannot make yourself be merciful in this way. This mercifulness belongs to those who have received mercy, and you must seek mercy. You must seek mercy from the God of heaven. You must humble yourself before the great God and acknowledge that you deserve nothing good, and yet you stand in great need of mercy. You must say to God, "For thy name's sake, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great." You must go to God with your great need of his mercy, that in his mercy he would forgive all your sins and take all your sins away and receive you through the Lord Jesus Christ. If you are not brought by his grace to depend upon his mercy, if you go on in self-righteousness, you will never be merciful, nor will you receive mercy at the day of judgment. You must be brought low by the grace of God to depend utterly upon Christ as the one who bore the guilt of sin, who bore the wrath of God in the place of sinners. You must be brought low and be looking to that Saviour and saying to God, "God, be merciful